And welcome back to the Greg Horrendous Show, where we have the 7th Director of Athletics at Fairleigh Dickinson University, Mr. Brad Ford Hurlbut. Brad Ford, welcome.
Thank you, Greg. It's a pleasure to be here.
You sound, that's a great name, man. Since you've been here, I've been calling you Brad. Is that okay?
That's perfect.
But I just think when you apply for a job and your first name is Bradford, you can tell this guy's been at Penn, Northwestern. Right, Kenny? I mean, come on.
I like how you accentuate that Ford. Brad Ford.
Brad Ford.
I don't think he's ever heard it pronounced that way.
Coming back to Jersey, there's a lot he hasn't heard before. But, Brad, I just welcome you. Not only to Fairleigh Dickinson University, but to WFDU. What do you think so far? You got the tour from Kenny.
Well, this place is tremendous.
It's a jewel.
It really is. It really is. And do you give tours? Because you should.
That's a great, great,
absolutely a great fundraiser.
When it comes to our, admitted students day, we try to bring the students through, especially the ones interested in communications.
Sure. Yeah.
And during our fundraiser, we do invite our listeners to come down to the radio station if they make a certain size donation.
Right. But yeah. I think when we have guests come into our
everybody's
studio.
Everybody's always so impressed with this.
But they can't find it, Kenny.
You're right.
It's like hidden, and that's what I like about it. Yeah. It's like you got to come find me.
Now, the funny thing is, we're very well known outside of the university community, but inside the university community, still people are confused about where WFDU is located.
It's amazing, and every guest I bring, but today we bring our new athletic director on February 18th, 2019. Brad, your life changed, and so did the life of our athletic department. You've been here now for a few weeks, and you're trying to take a deep breath. We've had a lot of success on the basketball court, on the baseball diamond, but just tell me how you feel. Do you feel at home? Do you feel anxious? What are your feelings being the director of athletics now at Fairleigh Dickinson?
Well, I feel fantastic, and obviously all the winning, you know, just makes everything better, right? Your food tastes better, all that from top to bottom. But I was thinking about that on the way in. I live in North Stamford right now. It's about a 40-mile commute and taking me about 50 minutes. But once I hit 17, I get this energy and this excitement. And I noticed that this morning. I was like, gosh, you know, this feels right. This is great. And it felt right before I stepped foot on campus, but it just feels better and better every day.
Well, that's a good feeling because quite honestly, when I took over my basketball program, I was really nervous. Like when I went, like it was a daunting task. We had, I think the year before, we had like 5 or 6 wins. We didn't have any good players coming back. We were opened up at Arizona. And I remember being excited, but until I realized the job that I had in front of me. Now, you have a big job, but I think our athletic department is intact and it's working. So you have a place to come to make it better. But I was. Do you have any feelings of anxiety or any like nervousness? It doesn't. You seem like a cool cat that's just jumped into the seat and you hit the ground running. I mean, how do you feel?
Yeah, I feel great.
That's good.
And I feel better than I thought I was going to feel too. It feels right. You know, so
that's important.
You know, we talked a little bit before just about like, do you have any buyer's remorse or anything like that?
I
don't have any.
Yes,
none.
What has surprised you? The smallest thing or the biggest thing that now that you're sitting in the chair and then you just walk around campus and you're like, wow, this is better or this is worse or this is smaller or what's the reality when you sit in a chair and look outside?
Well, two things. One, when I was on my interview and I went on my campus tour,
sure,
I felt when I had no idea what this campus was going to look like, right?
Yes.
And I thought, gosh, this is a place that I could sell. You know, and that our coaches could sell to prospective student athletes.
No question.
And then I think the vision of our president, President Capuano, what they're going to do, and the beautification that we're going to see this summer too, and to understand that what's the best thing we've got? We've got this river that runs through our campus,
Amen.
Right? And
Amen.
So now we're going to be able to take all that in, and they're really going to make that the centric part of the campus. So
what
great.
About? I'll put you on the spot a little bit. The difference between the student athlete and the student at Sacred Heart versus Fairleigh Dickinson? Is there a major chasm between the two? Are they relatively the same? What's the difference from your vantage point?
Well, I think they're relatively the same, right? We're going after really good student athletes, you know, that want to do really well in the classroom. I'll say the difference that I have seen in the games in the Rothman Center as compared to Sacred Heart, and this is no knock on Sacred Heart, but our students and our student athletes show up in force and they're vocal.
Yes.
And they're on their feet and they're leading cheers.
And if
that
not,
is so great to have.
If not, I'm hollering at them. Our baseball team, Kenny, came last night and early in the game, we were down 6-0. And we're taping this on Wednesday. We're down 6-0 to Wagner. And we just came. We looked shell. We looked like a hockey team that couldn't get the puck out of their end. They were just getting offensive rebound. And our baseball team is there, and I'm like, and I'm trying to get them going. And finally, it took our team to get the baseball team going. And then the baseball team gets the women's team, and then the tennis team, and the soccer team. And the place was it was really, really cool. And I think you hit it on the head here, man. What I've found, and it's the same thing, is we all stick together.
Yeah.
You know, I know, like, I'm in the dugouts with our baseball team. I go to the women's practices. I talk to the softball team, hit softballs right outside my – so there's a real congenial group that works for each other and loves each other.
You can tell that, yeah, with the coaches as well, yeah.
Let's go backwards now. The Greg Herenda Show, Kenny, is about the genesis of Brad Hurlbut and where you came from and – what you were like, and you have a real distinct relationship. Your brother was the director of athletic. What number was he? You're 7.
He was 5.
You know what? We're gonna get you basketball jerseys.
With 7 on it.
And David was in between.
Yeah, so it's kind of like the presidents, right? Like the Bushes, right? 41 and 43. He's 5. I'm 7.
That is cool. Which is 57. Tell me your relationship. And I know he has a son that's up at Army.
Yep.
You guys are all in sports administration. What's the derivative?
Sister-in-law as well. Yeah.
How does that happen? Where does it come from?
Well, it started with him. I mean, he started off as a assistant SID at Georgetown, and that was during the heyday years, right? You know, and so that was 84, 85, 86, and I just graduated from college and needed a place to stay, so I lived with him, and he'd pay me $20 to come and do stats at Georgetown basketball games. Are you kidding me? It was the best thing ever.
That is
And
cool.
I recruited two other guys to help. And so that was our beer money, right?
Who was on the team back at Georgetown back then?
Well,
was it pre-Ewing or post-Ewing?
It was right post-Ewing.
Okay,
yeah.
So was it like morning in those guys?
Yeah.
They were good teams.
Yeah, it was great.
What was your
Syracuse?
Your interaction with John Thompson. Did he acknowledge you?
I don't think a lot of people had interaction with John Thompson, but he was always nice. He loved my brother's dog. It was actually my dog, and I gave the dog to my brother, and his name was Rastro. And Steve would
Rastro.
Isn't that a great
That's
name?
That's a great
From the
name.
Jetsons, right?
Jetsons, absolutely.
So my brother would bring him into the McDonough Center, and he would wander around. And one time, they were like, "Where's Rastro? Where's Rastro?" And he's
Thompson
sitting
out
on John Thompson's lap on his desk. And
that,
so, and John from then was always like, "You got to bring Rastro in." So,
that
yeah.
is cool.
Yeah.
Tell me about your brother and yourself athletically. What's your sports growing up? What are your sports now?
Yeah.
Do you guys compete?
Well, we compete in golf now.
Okay.
He has a great place. He lives out in Half Moon Bay, California, right at the Ritz-Carlton out there. So he's
That's
got
tough.
Quite the life. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but growing up, he played every sport known to mankind. And I played country club sports, kind of like the name Bradford
So
I played golf and tennis.
Squash ever?
You would think, right? But no, I've never played squash, but I want to learn that sport.
I'll teach you. I'll tell you one thing. Squash, for me, is the winter version of golf. It's an addicting sport in that there's so many shots and there's so much strategy and there's skill and there's a workout and it's a sweat.
Yeah.
And if you're in there for 45 minutes against a good competitor,
yep,
it's the greatest workout. It's fun. And, oh, my God, I learned to play at Merrimack College. One of my best friends in college was a really good player. And then I went to Yale and I played at Yale a little bit.
Of course you did.
And I absolutely treasure my days of playing squash. So we'll get into a squash court and play.
I would like that. How about, have you played paddle tennis before?
I would get beat up by my friends in New Jersey if I told them I played paddle tennis. No!
It's a great winter sport.
Paddle tennis.
It's also a country club sport.
Sure.
So it's like, it's paddle or platform tennis.
Okay.
And it's just like, it's a wood court and it's got chicken wire around it and you play it in the winter.
Yeah.
You play it in the winter.
But what about the snow and the cold?
Well,
you just rough it a little bit.
You rough it up, man. Yeah.
Pat, how about you? Hey, Kenny is a bowler.
Is that considered a country club sport? I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
No, but it's a terrific sport, and we're national champions so we love it.
We've had our bowling coach on, Kenny, about a month ago, 300, rolled one.
Really?
That's right.
Wow, that is impressive.
No, Kenny can roll it. He's a really good bowler.
Well, I still have some eligibility, so if we figure out a men's bowling team— You know, I'll sign up for another degree or something.
Be terrific,
like that.
Brad. Now you go from Georgetown. Where's your first real paycheck in intercollegiate athletics?
Yeah. So my first job, my first paycheck was at the University of Pennsylvania. Yep. In 1992, came in January. We had a terrific backcourt of Jerome Allen and Matt Maloney. Took us to three tournaments in a row.
Yes.
So. Worked with Fran Dunphy, the legendary Fran Dunphy, and it was just
and
such
your
a
role
wonderful
was
time.
The were you the
sports information director?
You were the full time for basketball.
Well, I oversaw the whole athletic department, sports.
But you were the SID
at
Penn.
Yep.
For how many years?
Football and basketball.
How many
3 years.
Then from Penn, you ascend to
Northwestern University.
For 17.
For 17 years.
I knew you were at Northwestern, but doing the research, 17 years.
I don't look old enough.
I mean,
right?
You don't look even close to old enough. But I mean, that's a commitment.
Yeah.
That's life. That's where you. I'm sure you have so many near and dear friends. Chicago, Evanston, Illinois, obviously a tremendous. I love it personally because of Elijah Williams, our sophomore forward that went crazy the other night. But tell me about those 17 years and how you evolved in the whole.
It was wonderful. You know, my first year was 1995. We went to the Rose Bowl out of nowhere.
God.
I mean, with 25 straight years.
Purple to Pasadena.
Taking the purple to Pasadena. Gary Barnett. Yeah, it was wonderful. High hopes, that whole thing.
Yes.
And what a wild ride. And my first game that I worked, we were at Notre Dame. We hadn't beaten Notre Dame since I think it was 1967.
That was your first game?
It was my first game at Notre Dame.
And
we beat him.
And you beat him.
We beat him, yep.
This guy is a good luck charm. Kenny, since he's gotten a job, we had, I think, one loss. And it's just been like a love fest. You've been in our locker room. You've been with our players. But we'll go back to FDU. But Northwestern... Why did you leave Northwestern? You're there 17 years. Were you on the track potentially to be the athletic director at Northwestern? And what took you away from Chicago?
I wanted to see what life was like in a conference office because my brother had moved to a conference office. My sister-in-law, Connie, was the first female commissioner in the country at the Patriot League. And I had lots of good friends at the Big Ten and Noreen Morris, who's our commissioner now at the Northeast Conference, we worked together. We were both the senior associate ADs, and she had left Northwestern to go become the commissioner here.
Exactly.
And I thought, you know, I had this opportunity to go to the West Coast and see what that was about. But I quickly realized I had made a mistake because I need that energy of being on a campus. I missed it.
And you were what was your capacity at the West Coast Conference?
I was the senior associate commissioner in charge of external affairs, and I oversaw men's basketball.
So that was a big job. And where did you live?
It was great.
Where did you reside when you were at that post?
I also lived out by the ocean. Yeah.
Half Moon Bay. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's not
That's
bad.
Why you left Northwest. I know the winters in Chicago are difficult. Sacred Heart.
Yeah.
How do you get involved? Obviously, the NEC, Noreen, is the commissioner. Was that the conduit between you and getting the Sacred Heart?
Actually, no. It was a search firm, and I knew the lady that was doing the search, and I was I was on a beach in Mexico, and I got a call.
God, this guy's got a great life.
I got a call, and she said, "Are you interested?" And I said, "No, not at all." And then she called me back a couple of days later, and she goes, why not? She goes, it's a plane ride. Come out. Just see what it's all about.
That's cool.
And I, you know, I knew who Bobby Valentine was, and I did some research, and then they explained to me the job, and I met with the president, I met with Bobby, and I loved what they were doing on their campus. You know, they were building something.
What you did and Bobby and the whole university, it's just – I was a Division II player at Merrimack College, and we competed against Sacred Heart and Bridgeport and New Haven back in the day. And Sacred Heart was not the Sacred Heart it is today, and you had a lot to do with that, Brad.
Yeah.
Just tell me about how you did it there and how might that be a procedure to do it here at Fairleigh Dickinson to improve our facilities and so forth.
I'm going to tell you a quick story, though, about why I thought that I would go ahead and take this job interview.
Okay.
So we're in Mexico. We go on one of those boats, right, that takes us somewhere when you have to get off and you flipper, you know, snorkel to this island and they give you food and drink there. And there were like 15 of us, right? And there was this family and who we sat with and the kid went to Sacred Heart University.
Wow.
He was a sophomore, and I thought, okay, that's kind of a sign right there. Like, that I should go on this job interview. So I did. I called Linda back the next day and said, I'll come.
That's cool, man.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Things happen for a reason.
Yeah, yeah. So what was your question? I'm sorry.
Basically, it was like what you did at Sacred Heart.
Yeah.
Like, how'd you do it, and how will that translate into doing it here at Fairleigh Dickinson?
Yeah, well, it's just about making sure that every decision that we make is student athlete centric.
You know,
it's all about their welfare. It's what is best for our student athletes.
Yes.
And it's going out and fundraising, right? It's selling a vision. It's getting people excited about it. So as I've told you and I've told other people and I told the president on the job interview, we can get this done here. And you know, one of the other things that I've really been so pleasantly surprised in with is just our alums that are here.
Yeah.
How passionate they
are. Passionate.
What great people they are.
Glenn Bolduc.
Yeah, seriously.
Just a name of one.
Yeah.
Glenn Bolduc lives in Windham, New Hampshire, Kenny. Comes to the Central Connecticut game. I bring him into the locker room, and he was ready to just put a came in on sneakers.
Yeah.
And then guess what? We open up against Wagner. Greg, I'm coming. Comes from Windham. Gets his ashes on Wednesday morning at 7:00. And gets in the car, comes down, put him in the locker room again, and then drives home, texts me, got home at 2:00, and he's like,
he's coming on Saturday.
He's coming on Saturday. So it's an infectious
place. Well, it is. And you know, Lee Shulman to be there also when we retired his number, when you retired his number. And, you know, again, this was before my official start, but to go into that locker room afterwards and see all his teammates that were there and what they had to say about the university and for the love that they had for the university. But you know, you had each one of them say who they were, right? And what they did and what they've done with their lives. And for our guys were like locked in and listening to everything. Again, that's when I really knew too, like, this is a special place. This is so much like Northwestern where we're going to make that connection with the past. Yep. And these people are, I mean, these are captains of industry, man. I mean, these are strong people.
We had strong people.
And that's the same type of thing that we did at Northwestern is build that connection and stuff too. So when we're bringing student athletes in here, it's not only are you going to play for a great coach and we're going to win championships, but you're going to end with a really fabulous degree that's going to get you in these places. And we have these alumni that are in place that are connections for you that are going to make this happen.
I love it.
Yeah.
Tell me how do you win a Commissioner's Cup? Tell me how you do that.
Well, we're lucky enough at Sacred Heart to win several when I was right?
That's why I brought it up.
Yeah, it was fun. So we got to win. We have to win. We have to finish in the top three in most all of our sports. And that's what they did at Sacred Heart. The one thing that they weren't able to get done at Sacred Heart, besides really men's. So Sacred Heart had a lock on cross country for women and women's indoor and outdoor.
Okay.
And then their football team was very, very successful while I was there as well.
Baseball, right?
And baseball had been successful, yeah. So, but a lot of their teams would finish fourth, third, second. And you rack up a lot of points that way.
Exactly.
So, and that's what we have to do here, and that's what I talked about too. It's like we balance that, and we have to compete, and we have to be in the top three in all of ours, and we'll get there.
Because I look at the banners in practice. I'm a historian of my own sport, but all sports, and our academic and our athletic teams, and I see those, and we want it, but I think it's like a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I think I think when the AD pushes to win a cup, obviously you push coaches to win their respective sports.
Yeah.
How would you describe yourself as a manager of coaches in today's intercollegiate athletic world?
Well, ones that are here already, I mean, they have to understand that I'm going to support them, right? But we're going to hold coaches accountable as well. And
yes.
And we're going to figure out why they're not winning and how can I help you win? What
yes.
is it that you need, right?
Exactly.
And so that's the job of an athletic director is to do that.
I think it's important. You said it centers around the student athlete. And I'm totally 100%. I think the better experience that they have before they step onto the floor, the better they can conduct themselves
yeah.
on that floor or on that diamond.
100%.
And I'm just so, you know, I'm not talking about paying players or doing, but just making them feel like, and it was a great night when we beat Wagner, and we're taping this. We have no idea what happened on Saturday, but when we beat Wagner, when we came off that floor at halftime, our players mentioned after the game how appreciated they felt going off that court. And when you feel appreciated, then you're going to do so much more
yeah.
and more, and then the cycle begins.
Absolutely, yeah.
And
yeah.
and I think you hit it on the head, man. We got to take care of our student athletes.
We do. Yeah, absolutely. And you hit it on the head, too. From before they step on campus, we have to know what we're doing. And when they're coming, these recruits, that we're rolling out the red carpet for them and making them understand that we're invested in them.
I loved your answer at the press conference. They asked you, you know, what when you take the position, what is your first goal? And your answer was to listen. You're going to do a lot of listening. And I think it's important because our players have things to say. Our coaches do. Do you listen to the players?
Absolutely.
The student athletes?
Absolutely.
Like, because a lot of times, like when I was in college, our athletic director was just like, you looked at him and you like said, hi, sir. And there was very little interaction back in the day. You
yeah.
were barely talking to your coach.
Yeah.
What's your philosophy about you and the student athletes and the direct relationship you have?
Yeah, I it's the best thing.
That's
about
it.
Being an athletic director. And it has changed so much, the role of an athletic director. You know, when I first got to Northwestern too, the athletic director, he very rarely did he have those conversations. But that just
right.
wasn't what you did. And
no,
I remember talking him to come to a golf event because we were really good in golf. We're going to the national championship and he flew out there. It was the time of his life. He just laid on the practice range and was talking to the guys, and just to see that interaction. And I got it right then. I'll never forget that. It'd be like, if I ever become an athletic director, that's what you got to do. You got to establish these relationships. You got to see how they travel. You know, you got to be on the bus with them. You know, they have to understand
Amen.
That you're there, and to establish deeper connections and relationships with them.
You also talked about culture, and the word that you used that really jolted out was energy. You want positive energy.
Yep.
You handed everybody in our staff, and I have it on,
yep.
so I'm, you know, it just says like relentlessly
it.
Positive.
Yeah.
And where does that come from? Were you taught that by your mom or your dad, or were you learned it? Where did that evolve
yeah,
as your mantra?
I would say it started from, you know, it's just always been that way. You
yes.
know, I think it's the way I was raised, and my grandfather played a huge role in my upbringing too, and he was the most positive person in the world.
Wow.
I mean, he was the mayor, you know, and everybody loved him, and I think that this just became who we are. I think my brother is the same way too. It's just that, you know, we waste so much time being negative, right?
And I
heard something the other day, like 80% of your thoughts have something negative in them. So, but what good does that do you? And we have a lot of heavy lifting to do around here too. But if we're just thinking about all the things that we need that aren't good enough, that aren't at this level, stuff like that, it doesn't do us any good. Let's figure out how to change that. Let's be positive about it.
This is my boss, Kenny. I'm excited. I got to tell you, Brad, I feel like I get a new job. I really do. I'll forever be indebted to David Langford. He gave me my opportunity to be a Division I head coach.
Wonderful man.
And he's put me in a position, and now you're going to take me to a whole new level, brother. And
I can't
thank you enough for your energy, your positivity, and just for you being you. I appreciate you being on the Greg Herenda Show, and I can't thank you enough.
Absolutely. I hope you'll have me back someday.
Oh, man, anytime. Mi casa, su casa.
Terrific.
And we'll be back with more of the Greg Herenda Show after this.
Hey, Knights fans, this is Brad Hurlbut, Director of Athletics at Fairleigh Dickinson University. When I'm not busy working the Rothman Center, I'm always tuned into the Greg Herenda Show on WFDU.